Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, good to see you once again. And continuing, I think, kind of wrapping up the series on building a legacy that matters. You've talked quite a bit about the difference between a spiritual legacy and a financial legacy.
Yes.
Seeking wisdom. And you want to get into a subject that I know really concerns you. I know we've dealt with it a lot in other shows. How to prepare that next generation to receive wealth.
Yeah.
And that can be a real challenge.
It is a very difficult challenge, actually, because most individuals come and do estate planning in their 60s, and sometimes they wait until their 70s. Well, and one of the big driving factors of estate planning is that someone has retired or they're starting to move into retirement. And so it kind of spawns on, okay, well, I'm done. I've accomplished the time period or the season of my life to where I'm building wealth. So now I need to start managing it differently. And at the end of most people's work life, they have more money than probably what they've had in their lifetime. And so it makes sense to start looking at, okay, a life is becoming more frail. There's an opportunity. I see that I have less life ahead of me than more life. And so what does it mean now to do estate planning? Well, if we take someone in their 60s, typically their children are in their 30s someplace. So just a 30-year gap. Sometimes they're even close to 40. And oftentimes, people have not lived with their children, at least maybe in society we hope that they haven't been living with their children or that their children haven't been living with them in their late 30s and 40s. And so there's this thought process, and unfortunately, a lot of society has even promoted the idea that most parents divorce their children and say, well, they're adults, and so they're on their own. Unfortunately, what this does from the estate planning perspective is that a parent, while they have more potential wealth than ever before, they may also have the least amount of information about their children at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So many people don't talk about how their children are doing financially, or maybe their kids don't share. Maybe in some families, talking about finances is still taboo. So there's many reasons that there is a great disconnect in the estate planning process. And that great disconnect is that estate planning is really a top-down venture, which is that the creators, the parents, create the plan as they envision it and take into consideration or don't have full knowledge of what what their children's current financial training, what are their financial skills, are they ready to receive financial wealth, and what would they do with it? So as a matter of fact, heck, I encourage listeners, as you're thinking about estate planning, or if that's where your mindset is, when's the last time that you actually stopped your children, sat them down and said, hey, look, if you received blank many dollars if I died, what's your vision with the money? What's your vision? See, some people say, oh, I don't care, I'm dead. Well, that is not true. And so I hear that poor excuse all too often, and it's just simply not true, because otherwise we would just give our money away. We wouldn't protect it. You deeply care about how your money is going to be utilized, not just for today, not just for your purposes, but almost every single person, if I can pull away that first layer of self-defense, then we get to the heart of the matter, and yes, people really care whether or not their money is going to be squandered. But the problem exists that there is still this relationship and this knowledge gap. And then you throw in the generational gap. So the generational gap is that I'm in my 50s, and my parents, who fortunately are still both with me, they think very differently about money than how I think about money. And then my kids are in their young 20s, and God help me, they think very differently about money again. So this is the generational gap when we talk about finances, which is each generation has a viewpoint on money than the other generation. I've held very large educational sessions with my clients, and I follow up and say, now one perspective is not right versus another. But the parents in the room would say, that's not right, Paul. There is a right perspective on how to handle money. And so when we have strong financial viewpoints, but then we don't know, truly know, what the next generation's training, ability, and vision with finances will be should we pass away, that's a massive gap. That's a big gap. And so we need to fill that gap and begin to shore it up so that we can create a very strong, proper vision with how we want money to be passed generationally. So again, in kind of review of past shows, the very first thing that we need to do is we need to seek after the heart of the Father. So number one, I encourage every single listener to have a vision that is given by your Heavenly Father about your finances and about how to leave your finances to your family and to charities and to your church and to the working of God's kingdom. That is what our earthly wealth is to be about, building God's kingdom. It's not to build my storehouse. It's not to build my bank account. It's actually to make sure to be generous on every occasion. That's why we have overflow, is so that we can be generous on every occasion, not so that we can be the Dead Sea where everything flows in, but it all stops. So number one is seek after the heart of God with what are you to do for your family. And then with that vision, then are your beneficiaries, if you don't have children, are the ministries that you're going to leave finances to, are they on board with the vision that God has given you? And if not, then we have to fill in some of the gaps to make sure that indeed the visions are going to align. So Proverbs 22:6, I'm going to kind of go to kids for a second. It says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, for many parents, we can look back and we can probably look at our lives and go, oh, dang, I didn't do such a good job in raising my kids. So now what, Paul? So now what happens if my children aren't following after the heartbeat of God? So that's where an estate plan can be very powerful, to utilize finances, not just to perpetuate an unhealthy lifestyle, but to line up godliness and vision that God has given you. And so so ultimately, the training is a lifetime training. It's not just from a certain age until you're 18 or 21 or 25 or whatever age maybe your kids moved out. The training is to really never never stop. So Psalms 127 says that children are a heritage from the Lord. They're like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children's. Blessed is the man who has a full quiver of them. So we understand that children are to be a blessing. But if we don't deal with this generation gap, if we don't deal in our estate plan, then we may be passing off something that will not be used as a blessing for our children. And so one of my big deals, one of the things that I love to work with are individuals that have a strong kingdom purpose and a strong kingdom vision and how do we design that? And how do we start closing the gap of how we view finances And how do we find out more information about what will the kids do? So again, I come back to a very simple question. When's the last time that you've asked your kids, if I leave you blank many dollars, what will you do with it? And I believe it's a healthy, appropriate conversation and question to pull the family back together and maybe even start building a family plan that everybody can see. Now, some families do this and some families do it well. For the most part, I would say that families don't. So we need to bridge the gap between generations and learn more about our children, specifically how do they manage finances, so that we can make sure that we hand off something that is going to be appropriate and is going to last a long time as God has put into your heart. So there's several warnings in the Word of God about handing off wealth without the next generation being ready. Proverbs 22:3 says that the prudent see danger and they hide themselves from it, but the simple or the unaware continue on and suffer demise. So, in other words, if we see an issue and we're unwilling to deal with it, take the steps to bridge this gap between the generations, and you continue on in the path that you're on, then unfortunately the Word of God, which I think is right every time, so that's not my opinion. I just read Proverbs 22:3, so if you're mad at me for that, I'm sorry. But there is wisdom to say, if we do not actually address the issue and we allow the system or our hearts or what we have in place just to simply happen, that it will create demise. It won't be the blessing that we are hoping it to be. So we need to be prepared. We need to prepare the next generation for wealth reception instead of just wealth preparation from the creator's position. And that's what most estate planning does. Most estate planning looks at just what is your vision with your money, and it takes into consideration, it does not take into consideration is what I should actually say. It does not take into consideration of whether or not the next generation is prepared to receive what is about to be given to them, which is typically far more than they've ever had in their lifetime. So we need to bridge the gap. We'll come back. We'll talk about some other ways and some other things about how do we do that, and what are some of the dangers between this generational gap in estate planning.
Okay, some of the heart of Paul Grant this week, building a legacy that matters, training up that next generation to receive wealth in a proper way. And if people are intrigued by what they're hearing today and they want to get in touch with you, Paul, how do they do that?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, past podcasts. There's educational opportunities coming up, and there's ways to communicate with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And wrapping up our series this week on building a legacy that matters, how to train up a generation to receive that financial inheritance. Maybe they're getting, maybe they're going to be receiving a large portion of money. And are they ready to receive that? And Paul, it's your contention that often the next generation is not ready.
Yeah. So I think most people would relate to this statistic, which is several years ago, I was reading a financial magazine and they had a story about what do people do with lottery winners, with their lottery winnings. Mm. And the article ultimately concluded that 80% of lottery winners head towards bankruptcy. That's an insane
no matter how much they
statistic.
Won.
Yeah.
So somebody mean hundreds of millions and they're still bankrupt.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure. I can't speak to that. The article did not give which families or to what monetary amount that they received. But, you know, it's my proposition that another 10% probably lost most of what they had but didn't go to bankruptcy, and less than 10% actually do well with what they receive.
Less than 10.
So, that's me filling in the gap of the study. That's my own thought process compared to what the study did. But what I see is that inheritors demonstrate the same type of characteristics as a lottery winner, which is it's money out of the blue. They have not prepared and built it, and it's free money. So we respond to free money very differently than how we respond to money that we have toiled over with blood, sweat, and tears, right? And so when we put our money aside, there's a different responsibility that many of us give and a different type of attention that we give. And actually, many of my clients have received inheritances, and they do well with them, which adds to the ability for them to actually build wealth. And so it allows them to then have a foundation to build off of instead of squandering it. So when someone is able to receive finances that are in addition to what is expected, then that lays a foundation for them to do well financially. But it could also be a foundation to lead to financial ruin and disaster. And Proverbs actually tells us this exact thing. So there's two Proverbs I want to bring to our attention. Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes to poverty. So number one, in talking about estate planning, we need to be diligent to set up a plan that is going to bless and protect future generations. And that goes back to the seek after God's heart for what is good for your family versus what is good to be given to build his kingdom and to be generous and to kind of perpetuate exactly what he has put into your heart. But he who is hasty comes to poverty. In other words, if you people who are quick decision makers and those who do not take finances seriously and live on the edge, which, by the way, most people in their 40s and 50s are highly leveraged in debt and they're hasty. They want to make sure that what they get is shiny and blingy, and they don't have the same veracity of saving and the same foundation of what it means to build for your future. Then Proverbs 20:21, which is really towards estate planning, says an inheritance may be hastily gained, but the end shall not be blessed. Isn't it amazing that there's that word hasty is in both of those, Proverbs 21:5 and in Proverbs 20:21. So in other words, an inheritance is out of the blue. And but the end shall not be blessed is what Proverbs 20:21 says. Why, if we receive an inheritance, is it not blessed? Well, for the very reasons that I'm talking about, the next generation is not financially trained. They don't have the same vision of the handoff to take care of the family or to help perpetuate the kingdom of God going out and building God's kingdom. That is the purpose of our money, that we can be generous on every occasion. So therefore, our finances are to be given. They're not to be stored. And an inheritance may be hastily gained, but when it is not, in other words, when it is prepared, when it is discussed, when it is brought to the family level, so that there is wisdom and understanding by the whole family unit, then I believe that we can sidestep exactly what Proverbs 20:21 is talking about, because it wasn't hasty. It was built with wisdom. It was built with expectation. It was built with vision. And so how do we bridge the gap between the creator and the receiver in estate planning is, number one, you have to be willing to talk about this stuff with your kids. And sometimes it's very difficult. Like I said, some families believe talking about finances is taboo, so they're very private about their wealth and about their finances, whether it's a little or a lot. And so we're going to have to get over that to build a strong estate plan that will last generationally, because we have to prepare the next generation. Otherwise, they will receive it hastily, and very few will do well with it. Not only is it a financial magazine that tells me they won't do well, but God's word tells us that they won't do well. So we need to make sure that there is a connection between the generations, and that this is an open conversation so that the whole family has the vision instead of just the creators having the vision.
So how do you make that connection? How do you prepare them? Well, you make them go through some classes, or you make sure they understand what they're going to be receiving, or all of the above, or what?
Yeah. So there's our firm is rather unique, so I believe, because we actually do give educational classes for families. So we give educational classes on what does it mean if someone were to pass away. So instead of walking into the law firm after you lose someone, which is one of the worst times in your life, you're not thinking clearly, you may not be emotionally stable, the worst time to learn is at that moment. I talk to families after they lose a loved one, and oftentimes they have no recollection of anything that was said in the first meeting, because it's usually rather quick after the death, and everyone is focused on other things, and everyone is just not in their right place mentally and emotionally. And so that's the worst time to learn. So we have educational classes about what happens when somebody passes away. We want to give a foundation of education so that when this happens, because it's not an if clause, it's a when clause in estate planning, we are all destined to leave this earthly shell. And so therefore, we know that this is going to happen. We need to be aggressive in its planning, diligent in its planning. And we provide education about what does that look like. We give education about what happens if there's a life adjustment. In other words, what happens if mom or dad begins to have dementia? What happens if they need care at the end of their life and are not in a healthy position? You know, that's a different role. And people need to understand, how am I going to be prepared to meet that challenge when they already have jobs, families, and a life of their own? So it's a very stressful circumstance, and oftentimes other siblings who are speaking into the situation as well. And then we have educational planning about what does it mean to receive wealth, which is kind of the heartbeat of what we've been talking about in today's discussion. So we want to prepare the next generation with not just here's your money, but here is the vision. This is how we bridge the gap. But again, it kind of goes back to, are you willing to have the conversation? Are you willing to do the hard work? Are you willing to do the diligent work to build the family structure, to train up your children in the way that they should go so that they won't depart from it when indeed the time comes to receive what you are going to bless them with? And by the way, in my opinion, this does not take an extraordinary amount of wealth. Some people don't have a lot in their bank account, but yet you can build a family vision. Very quickly, as we run out of time here, one of the greatest stories that amazes me in the Word of God is when Jesus viewed the woman giving just the mite in the offering, giving the smallest amount, but she gave out of her, out of everything that she had. The reason that amazes me is because she didn't know that the little she had would be a story for all of eternity. That's a very powerful thought to me, which is she gave a little, and yet it made a kingdom difference. You know, you don't need millions and millions of dollars to make a kingdom difference generationally. And so, but what you do need is a plan, and a plan that includes the next generation so that they have the same vision and values and that they can perpetuate it and continue it in your honor and in your legacy. And so we need to build a plan that is generationally bound instead of just top to bottom, which is I'm going to create the plan and it's going to be a surprise to the family, because Proverbs says that that is going to be squandered and it is not going to be blessed at the end.
Okay, some of the heart of Paul Grant this week on building a legacy that matters, how to train up that next generation to receive whatever you have for them. There are some key ways to do that. And if people want to know more, how do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. Past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, and ways to communicate with us so that we can connect. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.